Japanese foot.
What kind of car is it?
Ferrari. But I'd love to have a Honda. I had a 275 Ferrari. The reason I'm fine. Science. I love the way the Honda sounds. Never. Well, you see, my leg is bad, you know, and you have to use his left leg. So I don't want to mess it up. Because I do enough on it by boxing, you know.
Five days.
Myself. And I have a trainer. You know, he trains me whenever he has time.
Right
now, Swedish shoes. You can step out of them whenever you want them. Out.
Do you like the
I wear mostly suede and leather now. You don't have to press them. No, I just like wide pants, you know, that hang over the shoe. And fringe jackets. Some wide pants, just long as they're, long as they hang over the shoe, you know, like this. Like that. Something like that.
What do you think about Theo Montel?
And which way? The way he looks, the way his body looks, the way he smells, the way he thinks. What?
Everything about him.
I don't know what to think about. You know, I don't think about him. You know, like a person thinks about another person, like what they like about him or what they don't like about him. I just tell him what I want, you know, and he usually does it. He used to wouldn't do it because he was kind of afraid, you know, but now he's all right. He's good. He's great now, but he used to be real afraid. You know, I used to tell him to do something, and he was so afraid of CBS, you know, his job and all that shit. I told him, I said, well, you have to go ahead and do what you're going to do, man. So what if you get fired? I usually don't like men like that, you know, that my wife and kids and all that shit. You know, I can't stand a person like that. Yeah, but not so that they can't be changed. You know, if something comes up, then it's better. You know? Tio used to be afraid to make a change, you know? And I would say, I told God to leave us and then leave him alone, you know? I said, why don't you leave Tio alone and let him do what he knows how to do, you know? And God said, well, we try not to bother him, you know? But now he's just getting like he should have been 10 years ago. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So when you say, what do I think of him? Well, you know, I don't think one way or the other. I just say, yeah, well, there's another man. He used to be afraid to do things, you know what I mean?
Thanks.
See, See, you're asking me, and I'm telling you, you know. I'm telling you where he used to be. Like, he used to be afraid to just do things like he's doing now. I mean, now he'll do anything, you know, because he has the confidence. But then it was the job was the main thing, you know. And what would my wife say if this would happen and all that shit, you know? You know how guys are. No, you don't know nothing about that, though, do you?
In Japan?
Let me explain this about T.O. first. Sometimes when we would go, he was so nervous that he didn't want to go overtime, you understand? When we had, like when we had the big band. And Gil used to write a lot of funny things, and he would say, I wonder why he did that, you know? And I would say, don't worry about why he did it, just record it. You know what I mean? Which used to piss me off, you know what I mean? Because Gil used to get uptight. Remember that, Jack? Mm-hmm. Gil used to get uptight and say, I can't stand Teal. You know? Because he's fine. But now he's different, you know?
Mm.
Now he's an entirely different man. You know? It's just like a new man, you know?
Mm.
Yeah, like a new body.
Right?
I like him now. You know? You're all right now. In fact, you know, when I make a date, I ask him about. I usually take Gil with me, and I ask Teal. I value his opinion.
Yeah.
But I also know when I ask him something and he says his answer, I also know whether it's a Columbia answer or a musician answer from himself. You know, or an answer that you just get in the habit of saying, being an A&R man with Columbia, you know? So that one I just throw away, you know? And then I ask him, I find out the one that's... Because it's always an answer. See, A&R man, guys that work for Columbia, if you ask them something, they'll give you... First thing they do is do like this, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which you and they ignore, you know, that's just some company shit.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, soothe the artist, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then, like you say, is that long enough? You say, it's long enough. But I think it's long enough, pause, right? But I think you should do it again and play a little longer. You know what I mean? I mean, what you could have said, no, it isn't long enough, and it sounds funny. You know what I mean? In front. So that's what I interpret that. I just say, well, it isn't long enough, and it sounds funny, so I'll do it up again. Oh, that's where I come in. If I do something, I hear a feeling is there, you know. I won't do it over. You know? I mean, I'll tell them to save it, and I might do it over if it isn't too much. Some things you just can't do over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we did it a solid way. We didn't do that but once. Because you can't do it over things like that.
Your Miles in the Sky and Daughter of Kilimanjaro seem to be doing very good in Japan, record and we put out. can you talk about any difference or anything about these two albums musically? Or your new album in a silent way?
I don't know what to say about those albums, you know. But in a solid way, they all seem old to me, you know.
Mm.
They seem like they're about 15 years old.
Mm.
What made you think so?
Because it's It's a nice way to play, you know, but it's something else happening now.
Something in your mind. Now.
No, I'm saying those albums, Miles in the Sky, I couldn't play like that anymore, you know. And Kilimanjaro, I couldn't play like that. Because where we play now, we don't, I mean, that's like commercial music, like Miles in the Sky, Kilimanjaro. But now it's all incorporated in something else. It's more freedom time. Yeah, that's nice. But that'll sound different when we play it in person. If we play it. See, all those things, when you play in a studio, it's kind of down, you know? When you play in person, something... When you play in person, something happens. You know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you anticipate.
Yeah.
It's different. A record says it's just like plastic thoughts. You know? It's nothing, you know. I mean, we're lucky. I mean, I'm lucky if I can even listen to one of the records.
You never listen to the record you play, you record.
It's so bad. I mean, it's no feeling on most of them.
But what else can we do? We just, when we would like to listen to Miles' music, and all we got is a record.
But you see, when you make a record, you're always thinking about, well, we'll have to stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But when you play in person, you don't have to stop.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the guys who are sitting there come just to record. I mean, it's a commercial venture, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But when you play in person,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like food, you know?
You feel the same way about in a silent way, too?
Well, in a solid way, this was just one style of playing, you know. But if we play it in person, it'd be different. The notes would be longer, there'd be certain dynamics that come out, and there'd be certain little extra trills and open sounds that you can hear before you get to them, you know? And when you play them, they'll be more pronounced or more open because you can feel something, you know, on the bandstand and in the audience, you know? You know, and, I mean, it's just different.
Yeah, it's very interesting. You know the Glenn Gould, the serious classical pianist? He got the nickname for the Tata Dropout. Doesn't believe to give him contact. The only record.
What?
It just has to give a contact.
Maybe in a class.
Yeah, well, he has to play the same thing.
Yeah. Well, that's what he's the reason to say that in a concert of classical music, he has to sometimes exaggerate what he really has to play. When you play the Bach, you see, in order to reach the audience in the back, and he has to exaggerate the tones or exaggerate the notes. He doesn't like that. He wants to play in a small studio so that he can really play Bach as Bach might have played his own music, so that all these mechanics.
Then you only have to record it once.
Mm.
Let somebody else do it.
Mm-hmm.
Why keep recording it over and over again?
Mm.
But when you play like that, it's like driving a car, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can drive a car like to Philadelphia at night, and you can get there, you know, without much trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You can drive it in the daytime and the people will distract you. You can miss turns. You know, if he's playing bump, the people might distract him, you know. I mean, even out of the corner of your eye, you know, somebody might do like this. You know, but if you have to.
You can still feel the people there, huh?
Yeah. I mean, you go off your thing. You know what I mean? If you're reading, somebody can distract you. You know? I mean, you can drive with nobody on the street and get all the turns, you know. But when you're driving and it's crowded, you'll miss a turn. I don't know why. You can do the same thing over and over again, but if it's crowded, you ever notice that, Jack?
Right.
The guy's reading music in front of someone, you know, no matter how well he knows, you know, you just mess it up. His rhythm won't be the same. That's the reason I believe in recording live. Because there's something there.
May I get back to the Sinusoid Wave album? You used the electric piano here. I think that you used the electric instrument for the first time.
And we used it on our Miles in the Sky. Yeah. And you used the Kilimanjaro.
Oh, yeah. You used it in the Kilimanjaro.
We used it on Miles in the Sky on a song called Stuff. Yeah. But this is three pianos.
Mm. And we got this shellac record from a CD some weeks ago when we listened to them in Japan.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
In
a silent way?
No, oh, good.
Well,
yeah, two of those.
Just popped up. Well, this is the new dimension. Now, Mark started to be in another dimension again, you see, because we Japanese friends, we look at you and we have observed you go into new dimension again and again in the past years. Now we consider this is another new dimension that you're going into.
Well, you know, the way I did that, the reason I did it is because when you write music, you actually ad-lib when you write, you know. And you're in your head, it's 20 different ways, right? So if I get three pianos, they'll play it 20 different ways. You know what I mean? The sketch I make for them to play makes them play it all the ways that you would possibly think about writing. You know, all the voice. You know, you don't have to write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. They'll just do it. All you have to do is write the symbol, the lead note you want, and the rhythm. And give them the idea. And you'd be surprised if they play it over and over again. Keeps doing that. You know, keeps changing. Especially if you have guys who think that way. You know, you can't get a guy just in there. You have to have Herbie and Joe and somebody like Keith and Chick. That's what it sounds like now. But now Chick is playing like that by himself. Isn't it, Jack? He plays like that by himself. He just plays it, you know. And there's no certain thing they play now. They just play everything all at once. You'd be surprised again. You might not like it. We play four tempos at once. You know, like you can hear a tempo, but you also can hear another one.
Yeah.
You know, within that.
The
other one, and you can either play on that one or that one. Somebody else is doing something else, you know.
And
it can
be all constant.
Yeah, well, No, you know, I like Stravinsky. You know, I listen to all the composers, but, you know, I always come back to Stravinsky because he does more for me, you know, rhythmically than most of the composers. He writes that way, you know. Yeah, and I like Rachmaninoff for Stravinsky just writes sounds, you know what I mean, which that knocks me out, you know, just things, you know, and no form, you know. But Rachmaninoff, I like Rachmaninoff, the forms he uses. Schoenberg, I went through that. Berg, I like Berg. But they only write once. You know? You guys like Ebert, he did his college, you know, and that's everything else. After that was nothing. Benjamin Britten did Peter Grimes, and that was it. You know?
Who do you like?
The Blood, Sweat, and Tears. I mean, they sound all right, you know, and what makes them great is that they're white. The white people cheer them on, you know. You know what I mean? Their following is all white, and the white kids support them, that's what I'm trying to say, you know. They support them, and they come to see them, and they have white idols, you know what I mean? But the black kids don't do that, I was telling my wife the other night, because they either have to have it in school, like a personal appearance course, you know, where they tell them to go out and see different people. You know what I mean, Jack? Because they don't go enough, you know? And if they do go, I mean, I think the reason they don't go is on account of the police. Not that they're afraid of the police, but why go and be bothered by the police just because you're black and have on a dashiki or a natural, you know? So you won't see 9,000 black kids to see Blood, Sweat, and Tears, you know? And you also won't see him listening to Sly and the Family Stone unless they're uptown, you know. In Harlem, you might see 30,000 people listening to them, you know, because there's familiar surroundings, but they won't go out, like they won't go to Randall's Island to hear, maybe Randall's Island, huh, Jack? But not the auditorium. Not the Madison Square Garden. You know? Because they just, they're like Japanese people. You never see them out. Unless you go down there and perform. You know? I don't like it, man, because when I look in the club and I don't see my people and I'm black, I feel funny. You know? Because that's where I got the talent from.
Thank you very much.